Grace is, for me, the most incredible revelation you can get. Ezekiel has a vision of God in Ezekiel. Read it, you'll find it. It's the one of the river, and the angel walks him along, and first the river's ankle deep, then it's knee deep, then it's at his loins, then he's in over his head. And you know, religion wants to tell you the longer you're in Christ, the less grace available, which is an absolute lie. The whole revelation of that vision is the fact that if you just keep walking, grace increases. Grace first removes the footprints of your past. Then it affects your prayer life. And then if you just keep walking, grace gets to your loins and you begin to reproduce out of grace. But grace is calling you in over your head. I don't know if Pastor has a swimming pool at home. Do you? Yeah. Word of knowledge. But you know, could you imagine if Pastor invited you over to his house to have a swim? And he's also got one of those, have you got those little shell pools here that you put your kids in? Could you imagine if when he invites you over, he's got the swimming pool and he's got the shell pool. And when you come to his place for a swim, instead of jumping in the pool, you just dab your feet in the shell pool. See, some people think God is a God of second chance. Don't respond just yet. Could be awkward. People that think God is a God of a second chance don't yet understand God. Because if my God is just the God of a second chance, you and me, we're in a lot of trouble. I've already used up my second chance. My God is a God whose mercies are new every morning. And so this grace that we've been given grows and increases. Get out of the shell pool. Don't even go for a dip in Pastor's pool. We're swimming in an ocean full of grace. And so with that thought in mind, I want to launch into the last session and talk to you about three callings with one mission. I believe we all have three callings upon our life and one mission. You probably know what the one mission is I'm going to lead you to, and that is to reach people for Christ. I mean, seriously, we have been put on this planet to heavenize earth. If we hadn't been given a calling as a mission together to reach people in this world for Christ, we wouldn't need a fivefold ministry. We'd just need an evangelist and an executionist. Get you saved, pow, heaven. But we've been called to make disciples. You, the primary calling upon your life isn't even just to be a disciple, it's to be a disciple maker. And winning someone to Christ is the first step in a whole process called discipleship. Yes. Decisions at the altar need to become disciples for eternity. And so my last deposit is just along those lines. I believe the future of your church is to take territory. Yes. I do believe the spirit of growth and the anointing of increase is upon you as a church. The Bible says that if you want to move from barrenness to fruitfulness, it happens as a result of powerful praise, passionate worship. And I just love the passion that's on this altar in worship. In Isaiah 54 in verse 1, it says, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch out your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. For you will soon spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Do not be afraid, you will not be put to shame. Do not fear disgrace, you will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. It's important to note that enlargement is something that we initiate. It says enlarge the place of your tent. I love that you've gone into a building program and extended the facilities and you've got the prayer chapel out there. It's incredible. Your facilities are amazing. I'm not envious at all. But enlargement is something we initiate to stretch, to lengthen, to you know, many people tell us the miracle is in the stretch, but can I remind us that it's painful? And so in every transition, if you want to go to a higher altitude in life, you've got to know that you're going to experience some turbulence. you know, I'm about to jump on a plane. And it just, you just cannot avoid the fact that if you want to go to a higher level, you're going to have to brace for turbulence. And just because you're going through a turbulent time right now doesn't mean that it's drama. It just means God's taking you to a new level. You got to understand that when my plane goes through turbulence, people on the plane don't get up from their seat, go down, knock on the captain's door and say, "What's going on?" You know what I'm saying? And so in a leadership perspective, your pastor is up the front there in the cockpit, kind of leading you forward. And you might go through some turbulence, you might go through some bumpy stuff, but sooner or later you're going to get up above the clouds.
Yes.
And you'll get into a place where, like they do with the aircraft, they turn on autopilot. And the reason they actually turn on autopilot is to get the pilot out of the way. Because if he starts fiddling with stuff up there, it can be... I don't know if you realize that, but they do that because it's best that there's no human intervention. I want to tell you, your pastor's taking you to a place where even he's out of control.
Yeah.
And God is in control.
So good.
And so here's the call of God upon your life. He wants you to increase the footprint of your influence. Your skill set, your market share, your connect group, your pastoral network, your client base, your investment portfolio. I don't know where you are today, your funding capacity, wherever you're at, your leadership team, your volunteer pool, your ministry influence. God wants you to increase the footprint of your influence. Expand to the left and the right. If you will look after expansion horizontally, that's right, isn't it? God will look after it vertically. Often you can't get this increase happening, but you can do this. Are you with me? God only calls you out of something to take you in. If some of you are coming out of some stuff, it's not just to come out. It's because God wants to take you in. So here's three callings that I'll look at briefly. There's nothing deep about this. You're not going to hear anything new. I'm not a deep person. I find deep too hard to do. It's like real... everyday life. Is that okay? I'm sorry. If you want to hear deep, listen to somebody else. They do it better than I do. God calls you out because he wants to take you in. I think there's three callings upon every believer's life. It's to, number one, to be fueled by his power. Number two, to be formed into his image. And number three, to be filled with his presence. And we shouldn't get them confused. In Acts chapter 1, in verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be my witnesses. The first calling upon your life is to be fueled with his power. That we're not running around trying to do things by our own strength. We're not burning this wick from our own oil. We've got the oil of God on the inside. I don't know if you realize this, but humanity is plagued with weakness. That's why before God does anything with you, he first puts power in you. Can I remind you that the infilling of the Holy Spirit, not just speaking in tongues, but in our context, speaking in tongues. Oh, is that okay? It's like you're not a second-class citizen if you don't pray in tongues. But I want to tell you, power gets unlocked. Words of wisdom are not just for the ministry, they're also for the marketplace. In fact, I believe the meeting place is the training place for the marketplace. And there are people in here this morning, and your deal is in the marketplace. Words of knowledge will flow out there to solve problems, to increase your market share, to do what you need to do. Peter was a foul-mouthed, hot-headed fisherman. Do you remember that guy? Have you thought about John? He was an insecure, emotional softy. I mean, seriously, that guy would not have lasted on my team. Jesus, the disciple in whom you loved. He's talking about himself, for goodness sake. Who does that? How you start out in God, you know what? It's not important. How you start out, it's not important. Get fueled by the power of God and you'll completely be changed. Your first calling is to be fueled by his power. I know you've got a degree, an education, a CV a mile long. And if you rely upon that, you're going to hit that wall. But if your source of supply is found before the Father. You know what? When you stop praying, nothing changes. Because prayer changes everything.
Yes, that's right.
Can I call you back to a place of prayer? Can I call you back to a place of prayer that, you know, if you only really pray when you come into this building for a meeting or an organized deal, come on. Pull your socks up. Let's go to a new level. Number two. You're called to be formed into his image. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. The word conformed is literally means to become similar in form, nature, or character by the influence of another. We become like the thing we worship. Thankfully, we don't worship a thing, we worship the son. And let's not underestimate this power of this life called worship, because he is calling us to a place where we are formed into his image. We're not just fueled with his power and go around on power trips. We are formed into his image. I'm an incomplete project. I don't know if you realize this, but I'm a broken person who God is still putting back together. But every day I want to see some of that shaping. I want to see some of those sharp things drop off so that I can be formed into his image. I'm so thankful that there's instructions in my Bibles, in my Bible for wives. Let me read it to you. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. You should clothe yourselves instead with the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. This is how the holy women of old made themselves beautiful. They put their trust in God and accepted the authority of their husbands. Abraham, for instance, I say this to my wife all the time. For instance, Sarah obeyed her husband, Abraham, and called him his master. You are her daughters when you do what is right. Fear of what your husbands might do. Unfortunately, there's also instructions for husbands. In the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. That's no small feat. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. I'm like, gosh, why did that have to be included? Wait, can we consult on this? Because this is really, it doesn't even stop with just husbands and wives. It then goes and speaks to the young and to the old. In Titus chapter 2 in the Message, I love the Message. Is it okay for me to read Bible? Your job is to speak out on the things that make for solid doctrine. Guide older men into lives of temperance, dignity, and wisdom. Into healthy faith, love, and endurance. Guide older women into lives of reverence so they end up as neither gossips nor drunks, but models of goodness. By looking at them, the younger women will know how to love their husbands and children, be virtuous and pure, keep a good house, be good wives. We don't want anyone looking down on God's message because of their behavior. Also, guide the young men to live disciplined lives. But mostly, show them all this by doing it yourself. Incorruptible in your teaching, your words solid and sane, then anyone who is dead set against us, when he finds nothing weird or misguided, might eventually come around. Guide slaves into being loyal workers, a bonus to their masters, no back talk, no petty thievery. Then their good character will shine through their actions, adding luster to the teaching of our Saviour God. I love it. We're not called just to be fueled by his power. We are called to be formed into his image. And it's a tough gig. It's a daily deal. And sometimes we're just flying along, doing so well. And then we just hit one of those speed humps and find ourselves with a flat. There's got to be enough grace and mercy amongst us. You know, grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. But mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve. It's like a crazy paradox. On the one side, God's pouring all this stuff we don't deserve. And at the very same time, he's not giving us what we do deserve. I think Pastor got up and said it this morning. It was so eloquent. We all deserve hell. I was like, yep, okay, yep, that's me, yep. Thanks for spoiling my moment. But it's a reality, right? Be filled by his power. But let the Holy Spirit do the work of forming you into his image. And then finally landing with this thought that we are called to be filled with his presence. There are three revelations of God, not one. We need to understand the character of the Father. Sorry, the compassion of the Father, the character of the Son, and the charisma of the Spirit. Yeah. I am so thankful for the gifts of God. I'm so thankful that when I stand here and that gift operates, it operates not based upon my track record for the last week or the last month or even the last day. Because sometimes you could just work it up and maybe get into a good zone for a day that's good enough. That the gift flows because the wind blows. Do your gift and the wind of God will blow. Let's not confuse these things. I need to be fueled by his power. I'm allowing him to form me into his image, but I do need his presence so that the gift can flow. I do believe at this time the church, the body of Christ around the world, is going through a reinvention process, whether it recognizes it or not. There's a whole bunch of stuff we just got to leave behind. And, you know, if you're aware of what God's doing, it does make it a little bit easier to get with the program, to flow. There's some incredible ministries around the world, and especially here in New Zealand, that are just doing magnificent things. But for the most part, the church has been in a holding pattern, getting its stuff sorted. Yeah. As you move into the future, be aware that God does want to reinvent some things in your world. Be aware that I love that quote from Alvin Toffler, who said the electorate of the 21st century would be those who cannot learn, unlearn, and relearn. Doesn't matter where we're at in our work, in our ministry, in our vocation, there are things new that we need to learn. There's some old stuff we need to unlearn. Things like how to use a VCR. How to read. Remember all the books written using the reference of how to read a roadmap? Well, how irrelevant is that today? I mean, Google Maps has solved so many relational problems around the world. But what about in church life? Stuff that is no longer relevant. That we need to unlearn. Then, like scripture says in Proverbs, there's some old truths that we need to relearn. Let's not throw out the baby with the bathwater. Young guns, let me help your pastor for a moment. He's not old school when he comes to you with some values, with some truths. The pastoral gift is still a gift. And so when pastor says to young adult couple, you know what, you really shouldn't move in together until you put a ring on it. He's not old school. He's a man of God trying to shepherd you into the future. You'd do well. Like when I came to Christ, my wife and I were together prior to Christ, living together in sin. She gets saved. I'd been playing up. I'm trying to do the nice story here. And I used to be able to just play up and she'd let me come home. But she goes off and gets saved. And I come back home and she says, I love you, but... I'm like, oh. I've fallen in love. I've gone, ooh-wee. She says, Jesus. I'm like, long story short, 3 weeks later, I find myself saying to her, I want to know God like you know God. Wow. Surrender my life to Christ. She says, that's great. Now come meet my pastor. Your pastor? I'm Italian. What is that? I go sit in front of him. He's got like 25 questions for me to check out whether I'm sincere. Dude, who are you? I'm in love with her. Just marry us. I'm not going to marry her until you can prove to me that you're genuine. Who are you? But I don't want to lose this girl. What do I need to do? Like inside, all the attitudes on the inside, I'm not saying anything because I'm smart. You can't outfox a fox, right? He says, you can do 7 weeks of marriage counselling. Then at the end of that, we'll see. You want to talk old school? I can talk old school. I find myself every Monday night at this lady's house. She was like Ancient of Days counselor. All of that before we could meet at the altar. I look back now and go, if that didn't happen, we wouldn't have made it.
Yeah, so good.
Young guns, you got the message. Older people, just because he's younger than you, you should probably still listen. I've only been here 5 minutes. But you get to observe a lot as a leader. Generally speaking, within the first few minutes, you can read a fair bit. Stick around a little longer, you get to check out authenticity, vulnerability, transparency. And I don't have a written list, but I do have a mental one. They ticked all the boxes. You guys are going somewhere. Let God fill you with his power. Let God form you into his image. You should look, smell, act, behave more like Jesus as you move into the future. But let the presence of God come. Let the presence of God come and show up with magnificent gifts. If you're feeling like, just don't have the enthusiasm and the energy that I need to move forward, now's the time to get it back. Do your gift. Let the wind blow. Don't take it and put it out there in the marketplace because you think it's not valued here. I heard, and I loved what I heard over the last few days from another speaker. But let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. We've got a gospel to preach. We've got a boldness to get on us. When it comes to reaching the lost, boldness will get you to the door. But only compassion gets you through the door. I believe this church has been placed here in this region to be on the cutting edge of bringing a revival. We're not waiting for it to come. Absolutely not. It's in us. Let's bring it to this community. Can I pray with you? Father, I want to thank you right now that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you're releasing a fresh flow of your presence. God, thank you for the anointing that you've placed upon this creative ministry here. Thank you that more and more songs are written. Thank you that gifts of healing and miracles, signs and wonders are being unlocked during the preaching of the word. Thank you that you're raising up the prophet. You're raising up the teacher that will come with apostolic grace and anointing and release your church into the future. God, I pray right now for the spirit of growth and the anointing of increase to rest upon every single person. God, upon those that are under the age of 25, that Lord, you would cause them to make strong commitments moving forward, to come into the ministry and do what they've been called to do because you have placed a grace upon their life. Thank you for ascension gifts being birthed even now over this weekend. Thank you that as Trent ministers tonight, Lord God, that you would allow signs, wonders and miracles to take place. God, that every single person that goes home from this increased conference would encounter you in their dreams, in visions. God, I thank you that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask, imagine, think, dream of. But God, we're lifting our eyes now to see the future. We're praying for those that are in the valley of decision, the multitudes and multitudes that are waiting to hear the call. God, I thank you that you have put the gospel of salvation in the mouths of your people, that we will reach people for you. We'll see them discipled into the kingdom, delivered from demonic influences, addictions broken off people's lives. Those that have been abused, God, I thank you that you will use us to release a healing power into their lives. Thank you that marriages are being restored. Young people are coming back home. Teenagers are surrendering themselves to you. Thank you, God, that the illegal trades that have been going on in this region are being broken and busted up. God, in the name of Jesus, thank you that you have people of influence in government that are causing the church to have favor so that it can be resourced to move forward. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you're causing everyone to be fueled by your power. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. If you know that you are called to the ministry, not because you think this is just a wonderful lifestyle that you could live, I don't want to work a job, but if you know, like there's a rule in my ministry, you can't get employed in my church until you've worked a job somebody else. Otherwise, you're going to come in and think I'm a hard boss. You haven't met a hard boss until you've worked for someone in the marketplace that just wants a dollar out of you. You have to work in the marketplace before you're employed by us, because otherwise you'll come and clock on, clock off, and forget about the fact that it's an absolute privilege to be in the ministry and your resources sorted out. But you're going to have to move real quick. If you're under the age of 25 and not yet responded to the call of God, but you know God is calling you into the ministry full time, I'd love to pray for you. Stand to your feet. Come real quick. Is that okay? Come quick, quick. Come quick. Come quick. Men, ladies, come. Come stand front and center. Feels like there's like half a dozen more that should be here. And if you've already made your decision and it's common knowledge, and that's cool, stay in your seat because you've got to unlock, you know what you're doing. But if you've not yet done this, it's really important to do it, not just for you but for the congregation that you fellowship with, to know that that's the future. So if you don't mind just looking up this way, guys and girls, the girls are already there, but I found someone in, well, I didn't. The Holy Ghost stopped me as I was going out last night to talk to a young guy, and I could just see the call of God. In fact, while I was preaching yesterday, sometimes it's just this radar, and it's just like, oh, God showed you a huge call. Anyway, I bumped into him and had a great conversation with him, but this was the kind of conversation I had. You got a huge call of God upon your life. Are you in this church? Yes. Are you serving under your pastor? I was trying to dance around the issue. In the end, I just said, are you submitted? think he said yes. I said, good, because you remind me of a guy in my church 15 years ago who, same call, huge potential. He's gone nowhere today because he couldn't submit. There's something about just coming under the greater mission and allowing God. You know, we quote that scripture, I'm the potter, you're the clay. No, that's actually how we say it. You're the potter, I'm the clay, mold me, make me. Can I tell you how you're going to be molded and made over the next season in preparation for your greatest fruitfulness? It's through the submission that comes in the house of God. There is huge potential. I could have pulled you out myself. I'm one of those when you're scanning around, just hits there. Even for yourself, I don't know if I've seen you in any other meetings, but it's there, clear. It doesn't take away from you guys. It doesn't. God's going to use you to do incredible things. You're involved in the greatest work that's ever hit the planet, the building of the house of God. Jesus said he's going to build his church. The gates of hell would not prevail against it because he's raising up young people like you. Where's my buddy on the end? We blew the cover. We had it. I've got 2 minutes and 50 seconds. There's two other people at least you need to be here. Just get up, come now. There's one. Come on. Come on. Thank you, sweetheart. Keep coming. There's one more. Keep coming. There's one more. Keep coming. Thank you, sir. Come on, would you pray this way? Would you just release your faith this way? Yeah. Dude, seriously, seriously. Just keep yourself in the zone. There's multitudes. Thousands upon thousands. You're going to have to do the hard stuff. You're going to have to develop the disciplines that keep you in the zone, because you're going to reach hard people from hard places and you're going to reach high people from high places. It's a lot that's got to go in. The law of content, can't give what you don't have. You've got to get the content on the inside of you. It goes for every one of you. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you right now that as these young men and women dedicate themselves to follow after you, that God, you would cause them to have the people in their world that would keep them on the path of righteousness, the people in their world that would empower them, equip them with gifts, with insight, with training, with understanding, with compassion, with understanding, acceptance, all the things that are required, God, that they could follow the call that you've placed upon them. God, help them be fueled, formed and filled. In Jesus' name, help them step into the bold zone of following after you, stepping out, walking on water, doing the things. God, I thank you right now for your hand of protection, guarding over, watching over. Thank you that relationships that are not of you are broken off now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, that you cause their eyes to see beyond the years. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you that the identity that you placed on the inside of them, the identity you have placed on the inside, causes them to move forward. Confidence. You said we should be bold and courageous. The righteous are as bold, bold as lions. Thank you that boldness is manifesting in Jesus' name. Thank you that they're able to do the things you call them to do because you filled them with your power in Jesus' name. Don't let it go to their heads, God. That their hearts be captured. That their hearts be captured in Jesus' name by the power that flows from heaven. Thank you that you're able to surprise us with the things that you do through us. In Jesus' name.